hello, everybody, and welcome to Watch What Crappens, the podcast for all that crap we just love to talk about on you, Bravo. I'm Ronnie. That's Ben over there. Hi, Ben.
Hi, Ronnie. What's up?
Nothing. Hi, everybody. Happy Monday. Here we are. Another Monday, another episode of Top Chef. Okay. Before we get started on Top Chef, we are doing a top 10 underrated Real Housewives of New York cast members. A little contest mostly between each other. We're picking our top 10 most underrated. Okay. And then every day you guys can pick yours between our, you know, the ones we argue, pick which argument you like best and go to our Instagram stories and vote for who you agree with for that number. We've already done 10, 9, 8, 7. So that means today is number 6.
Yeah, who's your number 6, Ronnie? Who is your number 6 most underrated Real Housewife of New York?
My number 6 is Elise Sloan.
Okay. Really?
I choose Elise. I put it fairly high up on the list. She beat Kelly, Jewel, Cindy, and Alex on my list. I put her a little bit higher up on the list, mostly because I think she could have been great if they gave her a chance, or maybe if she stuck to her guns better. I'm not really sure, but she really did try and show up and have a big fight with Ramona, but Ramona left. You know, remember when she left that club where Leah was showing her new fashion line and or celebrating her new fashion line? And she really tried. Like, she came for the big dogs. She failed. Yes. I will admit that she failed.
She failed. Yes. Big time.
But then big love watching her Instagram lives where she's like, guess what? I was on a Real Housewives show. So now I'm going to have a theme and go for it. You know, like Dorinda has aerobics and everyone's got their little thing that they're peddling from the show, and watching her try to figure out what her thing is has been really funny. One day she's like, hi, I'm Elise Sloan and I'm here to talk to you about cryptocurrencies. What is a cryptocurrency? What is it? Well, here's what it is. And then she goes through this whole I watched the whole thing. I mean, I was kind of into her, and I think she could have blossomed into a beautiful housewife flower had she not been, you know, nipped in the bud.
Yeah. Man, poor Elise. Remember, she didn't get invited to Omar's that one time. Like, they all went to Omar's after Halloween. I agree. Her Instagrams are actually very funny. She also does a lot of advice, unsolicited advice. Like, ladies, if you want to get a man, this is what you do. You put your hand close to your chin and you smile. And then if they respond, you say, that's so interesting. Every man loves a woman to tell him that he's interesting. And there you have it. You just got Elise laned. And also, wasn't it Elise herself who used her Instagram to tell the world that Ramona shat her pants? Or was that Leah and her sister? But I thought that Elise definitely said some shit on Instagram.
Leah said it on her Instagram. She said it on Elise's Instagram.
Yeah. I'm so happy that Elise is so high up on your list, because when I put Elise as number 9, and I was afraid that when I was giving my pitch for Elise, you were just rolling your eyes. Like, I can't believe Ben put Elise on this list. And lo and behold, not only do you have Elise on the list, you actually have Elise on a higher level. So
I sure do. So who do you have for your number 6, Ben?
My number 6 most underrated Real Housewife of New York is Kristen Takeman. I think Kristen Takeman is actually very underrated. She was on a good trajectory, but then Bethany came along, and Bethany's like, okay, so there's a pretty blonde girl on here? Okay, no one shoot with her. Okay, put her in a box. Because Kristen was on 2 seasons, right? She had 2 seasons?
Yes.
And her first season, I think, was actually pretty good. She was not afraid to get into fights. She would whine a lot, which was, I think, really funny on the show. Like when her awful husband forced her to do a Spartan race and then abandon her, and she was just climbing walls and crying. I was like, why? She forced them to do geocaching on a trip to Montana, which of course led us to Geraldine Parsons Smith. GPS. She had glass. Ramona threw a glass in her face. She splashed Ramona. She had a great fight with Ramona about, like, who are you to get me wet? Okay. Who are you to get me wet? I think that she really, she was not afraid to speak up. But Bethany just shut her down in her second season, and there really was no way for her to go. And her, I think the only way she could have really blossomed was if she was willing to talk about her husband's scandal, and she wasn't willing to do that. So her time was cut short. But I think that Kristen, I think Kristen was better than people realize.
Yeah. Okay. So everybody go to Instagram stories to vote for your favorite today. Who was yesterday, Ben? I had Kelly Bensimon yesterday. Who did you have as your number seven?
I had for my number seven was Heather Thompson. So,
Heather Thompson, Friday. Yeah.
So yeah, everyone go vote on those. We are going to be revealing the top slots at our live show on Thursday. That's Thursday night. Even though the Roni premiere is tomorrow night, actually, our recap of it is going to be live on Thursday. It's going to be at 6 p.m. on the West Coast, 9 p.m. on the East Coast. And you can buy tickets for that at onlocationlive.com/watchwhatcrappens. So buy tickets to not only hear the recap, but also hear how this countdown turns out. We're going to have some fun with it. So,
okay. So here we are with Top Chef. Meet you at the drive-in.
Meet you at the drive-in.
Yeah.
Supersized episode. So the episode begins with, I started to recap it in Padma voice. So here's how the episode began. they are all giving fist bumps to Kiki, who went away. And the music, since they're in Portland, they have like very, very indie guitar strumming playing to say goodbye to Kiki. And Nelson is very, you know, he's sad because he almost went home. And he says that Tom said that they have to be ready to be even more out of their comfort zone than they already are. So, you know, they're feeling somber at the moment.
Yeah. And Maria's especially sad. And she's like, I was honestly happy with my dish, but it's not enough to get me in the top three. And I was like, you know what? I get that that's sad for you. But you're also not in the bottom three ever. And
yes.
These people, like somebody just got sent home and these people are all devastated. Now's not your time. Okay. Save
it. And then she said something I think that scared all of us, where she said, like, I've just been in the middle. Like, I'm doubting myself. Am I too Mexican? Maybe I should tone down my flavors. And I was like, no, Maria,
it's still
too early.
No, you're not too Mexican. My heart is beating like a mariachi on a train. It's like, no, Maria, no. Never too Mexican.
No.
So they go in to see Padma for the next challenge. She's like, hello, hello. And there's roses everywhere. And even Amar, who's the guest judge, is wearing roses on his pants. I feel bad for Amar, okay? Amar wants to eat. He's an eater. He's not one of these skinny-ass chefs who come in here like they're happy with some celery with some fancy ranch or yogurt ranch or whatever that girl's making. This guy will eat. And he has to come on the roses challenge. You fucking kidding me?
I know. Please welcome back your judge for this quickfire challenge, Amar Santana, who's just finished licking all of your plates. Welcome, Amar.
Amar's like, wow, can't wait to eat whatever you come up with made with rose water. Fucking assholes.
The people of Portland love roses, and so do I, almost as much as Gail loves clumps of dead crabgrass. Wow. Just find some weeds and put them in a bag and say, here's your bouquet, dummy.
And Portland snot, Gabe, goes, fly pants, man. It's like, shut up, Gabriel.
Idiot.
Everything he says infuriates me. He's such a jerk.
I hate him. And Padma goes, about 500,000 rose bushes line 20 miles of the streets here in the city. And it cuts to Gabriel nodding like, yes, that is correct. I live here. Yes. I'm like, no, we don't need you to sign off on what Padma's saying, Gabriel. Okay. Just keep your head unnodded.
And she's like, speaking of, Mother's Day is right around the corner. Amar, take it away. And he's like, well, I believe that you have a new mother in your house. And someone who had a new baby boy?
Amar.
Oh, Amar. Oh, yeah. Padma's like, oh, so I believe you have a new mother in your house? And he goes, yes, I have a baby boy. And that reminds me of my mom. I'm like, yeah. Everyone's really stretching in this episode to be like, and that reminds me of my mom. It's like, you know what? I'm going to make a grilled fish because my mother... Well, she liked grilled fish. Is that enough for a story?
Like, her favorite movie was A Fish Called Wanda. Yeah. Do we have any mothers in the room? And do we have any sous chefs? Okay, sous chefs, leave. Mothers, you can leave too. What the hell are you doing here?
So do we have any mothers? Maria, how old is your child? And she's like, Renee is 12, going on 20. I'm going to cry now. Save it, Maria. It's not about you.
Okay. We want you to create a dish inspired by a mother figure in your lives. And the dish must incorporate roses because we want to torture Amar. Okay, enjoy.
And Amar's like, listen, guys, rosewater, it can be overwhelming. Or rosewater can be underwhelming. It's like, who are the writers today of this show? Batman's like, winner gets immunity and also an advantage in the next challenge. Make your mommies proud. I'm sure every mother of yours would love something made with rosewater. It's like, what, do we all hate our mothers on this episode or what? My mom would be like, get this the fuck out of here. What are you trying to do, kill me?
You know, I just want to reiterate that. Just like my flower pants, rose water can be both overpowering and underwhelming. Good luck, everyone.
So they rush for ingredients. And of course, Portland Snot is a total asshole, pushing everybody out of the way. Isn't it amazing that you can just tell what an asshole this guy is just by his face? I mean, the second we saw his face on our prejudging bonus episode, we were both like, this guy sucks.
If you look like a Pez dispenser, you're probably going to suck. And it's true. So Sarah's like, cooking with Rose is challenging. And everyone's cooking. And so now people are just telling things. And Byron is like, yeah, he says, my mother is the best woman in my life. And she moved to the U.S. without knowing anyone. And I just wasn't really paying attention. I thought this was sort of generic, like talk about your mom thing. I didn't realize this was actually the Byron is going to win the whole episode like setup, right? Because whoever wins and whoever loses, they get stories about their past. So I had no, I really felt like I dropped the ball and not picking up on this.
Oh yeah. I wasn't really even guessing, and I never pick up balls. I just don't play them. I hate balls. Yeah. So Avishar is saying that I banned rosewater in my restaurant. I mean, it makes me want to barf. I'm going to barf right now. And Maria's like, you know what? Every mom's trying to watch their weight. So I'm going to make a salad. Oh my God. Okay. Maybe mothers are trying to watch their weight, but like, it's a Mother's Day. You know, make them something, not salad. Who does that? Again, my mother would tell me to fuck off if I ever gave her that.
This is the first of many terrible creative associations on this episode. Yeah. Because all these chefs, they do not get it. I don't know what's going on in their heads, but they are very literal, uncreative thinkers is what we discovered. And this is the first of many.
Yeah, not creative. It's like, my mom always thinks she's fat, so I'm going to make her a salad. Rude. And then she's like, and I'm going to make it with shrimp, even though I'm allergic to shrimp. I'm like, and guess who else would hate that? Your mother. That her daughter, who's allergic to shrimp, is going to make her something with shrimp. She'd be like, what, you think killing yourself is going to make me feel better?
I know. Here, mom, I made you something that reminds you of how easily I can die.
Yeah.
Enjoy your day.
And Maria tells us that she was a hot dog vendor on the street. And she's like, I want to prove to all the hot dog vendors out there that hot dog vendors can make it too. I was like, yes, that's a new angle. I like it.
It is a good angle. Right. So Dawn is busy making a donut. And then Sarah's also going to make a salad, and she wants to make a dried rose vinaigrette, which are already, I'm just like, please just pack your knives and go with that idea. But she wants to use buttermilk. And so there's no buttermilk. So she says, so I have an option to use either sour cream or yogurt. And then we get Sarah's yogurt montage. She's like, well, we use yogurt. I'm like, don't act like this was not planned. You were going to use yogurt from the beginning. And you came up with a story about how you were going to go for buttermilk. But it was yogurt all along, and we know it.
I mean, we've seen obsessed chefs on this show, right? It's like, oh my God, she's making scallops again. Remember Jamie Scallops? I mean, there's like things that people just make all the time, like the bacon guy. Like, his personality was making bacon, and we thought that was lame. Your personality is yogurt? I mean, that's the worst. That's the worst by far that I've ever seen on this show.
Yeah. I mean, I love the idea of incorporating yogurt in all sorts of things. But on Top Chef, I do think that you should aspire above being known as the yogurt chef.
Yeah, right? Like, that's your thing, yogurt.
Yogurt. So Gabriel, the real yogurt person and all, the one who actually most resembles yogurt.
Yes, Gabriel. The actual personality of yogurt, Gabriel.
So he's like, well, I'm kind of grumpy about this challenge because I don't have a good relationship with my mom. Why is that? Because she realized she raised a son with a terrible personality?
Yeah, because you're a monster, maybe. And he's like, my sisters have always been my supporters. And he goes, my sister just had my niece, and all she wanted while she was pregnant was raw fish. Be quiet. I don't believe that for 1 second. You just wanted to do a fucking raw fish. You emotionless, emotionless, yogurty man. So then Maria is having Nelson taste her stuff, and he doesn't taste enough rose water. And so she goes to get some more from Gabe. What?
Why do people do this, by the way? Why do people always go to the person who has been on the bottom for several challenges and say, hey, how's this taste to you? He's been on the bottom like every week. Why are you asking him for advice, Maria?
So Chris is doing a porridge from Haiti, and he's like, you know, I'm so embarrassed. I was in the bottom of the Pan-African Challenge. You know, that was not cool, so I've got to do better. And then Nelson is doing rice and beans, which is super Dominican, he says. And Cable uses white petal and rose. That's what I wrote. I don't know who Cable is.
Okay, whoever gets, I don't know, maybe Gabe. I don't know.
Maybe. It's my autocorrect on the iPad. Cable. So maybe thanks Siri.
Shoda's doing a rose cured smoked turbot. And Sarah is having an issue. Her issue is that her pistachio is too overpowering, which I don't think I've even heard of that being possible. But she's like, it's too overpowering, so I'm going to put extra rose water on it last minute. Like, why? I feel like a phrase that should never be uttered on Top Chef is, I'm going to put on extra rose water. Like, yeah. Never. There's extra rose water has never worked out in the history of anything.
Yeah. So Maria is still unhappy, and she's like, oh, I don't know why I made shrimp. You know, it makes sense, but it's not Maria. Mm-hmm. And Padma's like,
solve a problem like that.
What'd you say?
So how do you solve a problem like that?
What a flibberty gibbet. Oh, what will the wisp? A clown. Hands up, utensils down, chefs.
Hands up, yogurt down, Sarah.
Hands down, up, Gabriel. Raw fish excuses down, Portland snothead.
Hands up, Nelson's terrible palate down.
So let's see here. Chris is first, yes. And he brings Padma a rose, and everyone laughs way too hard. And it's labouille.
Labouille. It's a cornmeal porridge with candied pistachios. And then Byron brings up a crab salad with rose and pistachio agrodolce. And then James, and there's like no responses really, which is why I'm going through those. And then Jamie makes Mama's imperial rolls. And she's like, yeah, I did like a pork and shrimp and mushrooms and oh, great. R2-D2's back.
And she's like, Mama likes to kick my ass. That's for your mama. Bah, 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 bah. I don't even know what those sounds are, stupid. Could you please just leave?
How Can about try the Beatles? Fax machine?
Well, try the Beatles' favorite sound. Silence.
Peppa, I don't wanna know and you, but that's actually Simon and Garfunkel. How about Simon and Garf fuck off?
How about Noman and Nofunkel, Tom? Get out of my scene.
Noman and Nofunkel. Well, I was talking to my dear friend, her, who just won an Oscar, and she says she could do the song better, so I don't give a fuck who Simon or Simon's Garfunkel friend is.
As Amy Grant once said, aren't we all on a yellow submarine? Okay, Sarah, come on up. So Sarah comes up and she's like, well, my mom wants to keep fit.
I don't blame her. Look how you turned out. Am I right, everyone? Okay, go on.
I'm doing rose crumble and rose pistachios.
Rose.
And rose yogurt. Stupid, okay, I'm sorry.
Ugly. I hate it. Vomit. Well, I usually use buttermilk, and I'm just, you know, I'm not trying to use yogurt every day of my life, but... Well, here's the yogurt. So you're lying to my face, liar. Get out of my face.
So then Avishar brings up a fish hollandaise and asparagus, and he goes, my mom always orders that. Really? Because I've never seen fish hollandaise in a restaurant. He's like, she orders that everywhere. And they're like, wow, weird dish. But thanks. It's still good.
So what you're saying is your mom is boring and lacks creativity. Wow, happy Mother's Day.
Is fish hollandaise a thing? I've never had it. Now, I've had Luby's where there's like fish with mayonnaise, like they have like a mayonnaise crust on top, which is surprisingly decent.
I don't know if, well, I mean, I don't know. I mean, you could get a salmon Benedict, which would have hollandaise and fish. I'm not sure. I actually did not put a lot of thought into it. I'm sorry to say.
I've never heard of it, but I just want to put it out there. Sounds delicious, okay? Put some hollandaise on anything. I will eat that shit.
Mm-hmm. So now Gabriel, Portland douche, comes up, and he has a cured snapper and a hibiscus, rose juice, and pickles. And then Maria has her arugula salad with a rose vinaigrette and deadly shrimp. And Nelson has puerco with... But the rose is only in the beans.
Yeah. And Shota does some rose mochi balls. And Dawn loves peaches and cream, so she did a play on that. And Padma goes, I like that the peaches are firm.
It's like I was telling my good friend David Chang, who serves soggy peaches? Am I right? And he said, you should come on Ugly Delicious. I'm like, more like Beautiful Delicious. Am I right? Am I right?
You know, unlike soggy peaches. Gail! And so Gabe is next, and he does a turbo cured in rose water and smoked in rose buds. You know, he's got to get the smoked in there. He's another one who loves his smoked stuff.
And he has a very clunky presentation. He puts all these giant petals around the rim of the plate. It was sort of like my first presentation, like the Fisher Price, my first presentation. These big, chunky rose buds. But Padma loves it. She goes, wow.
And he says, I don't see my mom very much anymore, but she does. Last time I talked to her, she said she was craving ceviche. So, okay. Just leave that story out. You know what I mean? It makes you look worse. Be like, yeah. I don't talk to that bitch, but I guess one thing I remember is she wanted ceviche one time. Okay.
I actually kind of like it because it's... It kind of one-ups Gabriel's raw fish story, because Gabriel is like, my sister was pregnant and she loved raw fish. And he's like, well, I'm just Gabe. I'm the cooler version of Gabriel. And my mom loves ceviche, not just raw fish. It's like yes, one-up. I actually don't like either of the Gabes, but I like that Gabe one-upped Gabriel with the raw fish style.
Well, and like terrible, like we both hate our mother story. Like, both of the Gabes hate their moms. So Padma's like, well, everybody, it's clear that you kind of don't speak to your mothers anymore and all think that they're fat. So there were a few dishes that seemed like they were cooked by orphans. I'll just say that. Does anyone here speak to their mother?
All right. In the bottom, we have Maria, who's, your shrimp was dry and your salad was too heavily dressed. Sort of like Gail when she comes out of a dress barn.
And, you know, I love the idea of your salad, stupid face, whose name I didn't even write down, but no. And Amar, oh, no, they're still talking to Maria. And Amar's like, yeah, and Sarah, there was way too much rose there, you know. And Nelson, you have beans, but they don't have enough rose flavor, which you're never going to hear anywhere in the real world. Hey, these beans don't have enough rose flavor. Can I have me? I'd like to send these back to the kitchen.
And now, the dishes that were the most Gale-like, and by that I mean matronly, Byron, Chris, and Gabe, your dishes were the most mom-like.
And Chris wins with his cornmeal thing, and the crunch of pistachio was so well done. And Chris is like, wow, it feels good to be on a winning streak. My mom would be proud if I spoke to her.
And then the sentence that no one ever wants to hear. Chefs, please welcome Richard Blaze.
It's like, hey, guys, it smells like grandma's purse out here. I'm ready for roses.
That's funny. Hey, Ali, let me tell my good friend Ali Wong. He said it smells like a grandma's purse because we were using roses. And so it smells, it's fragrant. Okay, I'll call you back. Yeah, it's fine. It's cool. Yeah.
Perhaps we should go to dinner and a movie, Richard Blaze. A slice of Americana that has seen a resurgence in the classic drive-in. Portland Expo is going to host a pop-up drive-in theater. It's up to you to feed 50 cars of Portland movie buffs who will be watching it all go down on the big screen. Spoiler alert, I do my best acting work since Glitter.
Unfortunately, I won't be able to join you guys because I'm going to be at the Angelica Film Center drive-in, which is also opening the same day. Just a little bit more prestigious.
And Blaze is like, everything has to be eaten comfortably inside of a car.
Don't give us anything gear-like, messy and dripping.
This isn't gal after a bad date night in the 7-Eleven, okay? So
this isn't like Gail after she decides to run sprints through a car wash, okay? Nothing messy and dripping.
This isn't Gail when one of those ice cream commercials comes on the TV, okay?
This isn't Gail receiving a new Orangina fountain, okay?
This isn't Gail after seeing a chocolate fountain at a wedding, all right? No messy and dripping.
This isn't Gail trying to rob a Starbucks, okay? Bumbling and wet and messy.
So they all have to pick knives to choose their teams, and they all get their knives, and Patrick goes just like this. She goes, I'm excited by these teams.
There's nothing more thrilling than watching poor people battle things out.
So Jamie's like, well, you know, if anyone is more stronger-minded, Gabriel really rubs people the wrong... In the true spirit of cinema, the menu will be inspired by different genres. Ready to see what's playing?
Fellini. Jane Campion. That's the extent of mine. I only watch Fellini and Jane Campion movies. I know you're expecting a third. You don't get a third.
One player must make a dish in the order that you see them, and it will be a head-to-head battle. So, Shota's like, why does the show have to be so complicated? Can we just make a plate of food? That would be cool.
I know. So, the genres that they're going to be cooking in are going to be comedy, drama, action, sci-fi, horror, and romance in that order. So Chris gets to choose a team, and he chooses the team that Shota's on. Good luck, chefs. We'll see you at the drive-in when we show up in BMWs while everyone else shows up in their regular cars because it's a pandemic and they can't afford BMWs.
Yeah, and then Portland Snots with his team, of course, already bossing everybody around. Like the fucking sandwich guy. You know, it's always
sandwich.
Oh, so annoying. So he's standing there and he goes, all right, guys, here's what we need. Finger foods, thing on sticks, all right? Stick things, things you can eat easily. Sticks, sticks. I want you to think of sticks. Like, you know what you're talking about.
We can start with the one up your ass, sir. So, so now we start to see some of these horrific ideas. So we're on the green team first, and Byron's gonna do comedy. He's like, oh, so I can do Korean style fried chicken, and that, you know, and Gabe goes, oh yeah, that can be comedy because you can call it KFC chicken, but it's Korean fried chicken.
Yeah. And Gabe and they just kind of look at him, and Gabe goes, it's hilarious.
It's like, what? Well, yeah. I don't know what comedy would be, but I'm maybe like a banana peel or something. Like, I don't but like, or pie in the face, something to play on that. But
just or like something that looks like something, but is actually something else. I mean, I don't know.
Like cotton candy or something. I don't know. Like, but just KFC, like Korean fried chicken, just a play on the word KFC or the brand. Yeah.
And Maria's like, I'm going to do sausages. It's going to be like hot dogs. And I'm going to make them all and make all the bread because then they can dip it. And Gabe's like, you're going to make 65 sausages, homemade sausages? And she's like, I can do it.
And she says, yeah, because with the bread, it takes action to eat it because she's doing action. So it takes. So this is going to represent action, the action of eating. I mean, technically, I believe that's any food requires action to eat it.
Yeah,
unless there's like some chewing. Osmosis option.
Yeah.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappin's commercial.
So then Shota is going to do a cheese corn dog for horror, which at first we're like, okay. Okay, yeah. And Sarah's doing romance, and so she's going to do a milkshake.
And I liked that. I thought that was a good idea for romance. That was cute.
Why?
Like going on a date. Well, except I thought to me when she milkshake to me was actually exactly what she later said was like, oh, it's like going on a date, getting milkshakes, two straws and a milkshake. I could sort of see the romance angle for that one.
Oh, okay. Because I hear milkshake on a date and I think, oh, great. So you don't mind farting on me all night. You're a real winner. Thanks. Sounds fun.
I mean, I'm probably like, you know, it's not like sexy romance. It's like innocent romance, like puppy love romance, okay. You know?
So then Portland Snot is like, milkshakes. I mean, you're going to have all those containers like for ice cream. And she goes, it's a milkshake.
I really liked her shading him. I felt like this was a move in the right direction for her.
Well, they all hate his ass, which I like. Yeah. I love feeling validated, you know, because everyone else hates him too. So we call that one. So the Snot's like, what's a dramatic food? I don't even know. And then Avishar is super excited because he's going to do like
Wait. Sorry, before we get into Avishar, when Gabriel says, what's a dramatic food? I don't even know. Chris goes, maybe the dramatic could be ribs. Oh, that's exactly what I think of. When I think of dramatic, I just think of ribs.
Yeah. I mean, you said ribs right now, and I flashed back to Awakenings. Like that's
I thought
I
of Meryl Streep. I thought of Kramer versus Kramer. I was like crying.
So Avishar is going to do alien cold s'mores. And Don is going to do a juxtaposition of popcorns.
For drama. For drama. Juxtaposition of popcorns for drama. She goes, one will be really meaty. I know.
Sir, what would you like? A juxtaposition of popcorns, please.
It was so chefy. I'm going to do a juxtaposition of popcorns. One's going to be really meaty and the other one's going to be real more playful. So as you can tell, it's kind of like the Schindler's List of popcorn right now. It's so dramatic.
And then Gabe has romance. And so he's going to do a churro, which, you know, okay, Gabe. And he's going to fill it with chicken livers, which how is that romantic? Like, did the churro get impregnated by somebody? Because that's what it's going to be like. It's going to be like biting into a pregnant churro.
This is someone who came up with this dessert before the season began and is like thinks he's going to make a splash with it. It makes no sense. It's not romantic at all. I love chicken liver mousse. I love churros. They don't belong together. And then especially with a strawberry compote. The entire thing is so ill-advised and does not even mix with romance. And that's what drove me nuts about this challenge is that no one seems to take the thematic element into consideration. They just decide to mix shit and then somehow make it work. Nelson is actually, I think, the only one who really thought about it because he was like, I'm going to make something that's going to look like a UFO. I'm going to make a flauta, I think he said. I was like, I was happy with that, actually, of all people. But churro with
except
chicken
that
liver,
it didn't. And then they kept telling him, oh, my God, it's just like a UFO. You really did it. I was like, it's a round, it's like a little round
puck.
Crab cake looking thing.
Yeah,
it's a puck. Yeah, they're like, wow, Nelson, wow.
You really did it. So now over on the yellow team, Jamie wants to do some sort of White Castle thing for comedy. And Gabriel, the most humorless person on this entire cast, goes, well, it's got to be funny, okay? You laugh. It's something you got to laugh about a lot in the kitchen when you're eating it. So I think you should do a chicken wing.
Yeah, they're all just hating him. And they're so uncomfortable because no one will just say, you're not my boss, fucker, you know? And I never get that on this show. You're chefs. How is nobody saying, you're not the fucking boss of me? Shut the fuck up, okay?
No, Dawn did that to him. Dawn did that to him a few weeks ago when they were
Dawn
paired
did,
up.
Yes.
And you know what? She stood her ground and then they won because of it.
Yeah. Dawn did. But like in a situation like this, how is nobody saying anything, you know? And Jamie looks just depressed. And she's like, well, I guess I just have to come up with something. And they're like, well, chicken wings, you know, funny bones. You could just say funny bones. And she's like, well, I've already done chicken wings, you know, but the team wants me to do it. So I'll just make it easy on them to do it. And I was like, uh-oh, bad
no.
sign.
No, Jamie. And then meanwhile, you know, Portland genius Gabriel, he's going to do for action. He goes, how about a dipping action? That's an action, right? So I could do a cauliflower croquette. I don't see how any three of those things are associated. Action movies, dipping, and cauliflower croquettes. What? I mean, I'm not a chef, but I think for action, I would probably do like big, bold, crazy flavors, something that just feels explosive.
Something right? on fire. Yeah.
On you know. Fire. Well, like, I guess you can't do fire if you're doing movie theater stuff, but still something still maybe spicy.
Some dessert on fire or something. Old.
He goes, cauliflower croquette for an action movie.
Cauliflower is like the least exciting vegetable of all time. Okay. I think we can all agree. So Sarah is saying, that guy is really pulling at straws. We all hate his guts. I hope he dies. And yeah. then Snothead is like, oh, yeah, cauliflower. It's a crowd pleaser for sure.
Yeah. Nothing pleases a crowd than serving them something that looks like a tater tot, but it's just cauliflower.
Yeah. The healthy version of a tater tot. Delicious. Yeah.
Crowd pleaser.
So Maria they go- calls home, which is totally worrisome. You know, because I really like scary. Her. And so her wife and her son are just sitting there staring at her, and she's breaking down, and they're just watching her. She's like, I've never doubted myself so much in my life. I mean, this is playing with my mind. And I came here to show female Mexican chefs are badasses, and you know, there's a pandemic. And then the son goes, hey, look, if you lose, we still support you, which is so cute.
It's cute. And he knows, he's like, if I say anything worse, I'm not getting hot dogs again. So,
yeah.
Mom's homemade hot dogs.
Yeah. So this inspires her to go back. It's like, bye, thank you. They're like, okay, bye, love you. Like,
so now they're back in the kitchen.
Mom called today.
I know, right? So now they're back in the kitchen, and Dawn is still trying to kind of sell us on her juxtaposition of popcorn as a for your consideration best drama. She tells us that the popcorn is going to be rich and spicy and sweet, and that's what drama is all about. No, that doesn't it's not gonna work like that. That's not this is popcorn is not drama.
Yeah, I like what she said, a duo of popcorn is risky. Okay, so then Chris is I'm a little messed up in my notes. She's going against Chris, right?
Yeah, because he's doing drama. He's doing rib drama.
Yeah, he's doing drama too. And he goes, yeah, I'm the drama king over here. She goes, well, my queen will trump your king. I love her competitive nature.
So, and then Gabriel is being, he's just mansplaining. I don't even know who he's mansplaining to. I think he tells Chris. He's like, oh, make sure you taste those shallots and none of them taste bitter.
Oh, like, Jamie, you know, he's telling her, oh, make sure Jamie. Your peppers aren't bitter, Jamie. Okay, make sure. She's like,
yeah. Thanks for your elimination causing advice, jackass. Yeah. So Sarah says, Gabriel really wants to be the leader, and if that's the role he wants to take, I'm happy to let him take it, but I'm gonna make the dish that I want to make, which yeah, I was
too at that point, but it didn't really work out. So Gabe is saying how he's the underdog team because they have one less chef and they all have to come up to make the fifth dish together. And then I like Nelson's. He's making an unidentified Dominican object, a UDO. Yeah. So he says it's going to be like a little pupusa that he forms into that little disc we talked about. And then Avishar is burning marshmallows for his s'mores. And Portland Snot is like, I mean, Maria's making a hot dog bun, and I'm making basically a side dish. Ugh. I mean, typically at the movies, like, it's unhealthy. So, you know, like, what about something healthy, you know? I mean, up until junior high, I was overweight.
Don't force your junior high issues onto those of us who want to go to the movies and enjoy something unhealthy.
Yeah. Sorry. I don't want to hear about your fat issues while I'm about to order 9,000 calories worth of popcorn, sir. Okay?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So Tom comes in with Richard, and he starts walking around, and he goes up to Jamie, and so, Jamie, what do you work on? She says, well, you know, I'm just going to do the classic, like, you know, it's like comedy, so why did the chicken cross the road? You know, stuff like that. Oh, it's, you know, it's supposed to be funny.
So then is Gabriel doing action, and Tom just goes, why? His food.
And he goes, now his take on it is, well, he's like, well, so I've got these croquettes, and there's like two sauces to choose from. And so it's kind of like a choose your own adventure action, you know, whatever you want to do. You can dip in one sauce or the other.
Yeah.
Well, I love those choose your own adventure books where you have two paths that you can go down and then it ends.
Yeah. They really like Avishars. Tom is in love with Avishars today. Like, Tom loves a marshmallow, apparently. And then
Avishar says he's
like, he's like, well, I'm actually from outer space. So, I mean, I would come here and I would bring a s'more to the humans, you know, because humans are weird when you're from outer space. And Blaze is just like, did he just say that about being from outer space? This is insane.
He's so fucking annoying. And then Avishar runs away to get something. And Richard goes, and he's off. And he looks at the camera, like total Food Network media training moment. You know, it's like, and he's off. I'm Richard Blaze. Back to you, Cat Cora.
Yeah, he really has. I think once you've been too trained by Food Network, you need to stay on Food Network because he's no longer for Bravo. Go.
He's not. Like the fact that he looked directly at the camera and had that Food Network moment, he's banned from Bravo.
Yeah, I think so too.
Also, Avishar's dessert, I just want to say, has nothing to do with sci-fi. He has sold it in that he created a spiel about being an alien, but at its core, he's saying, this is sci-fi because it's an alien brought marshmallows to Earth, which sort of doesn't make any sense, but at least he created some sort of narrative, I guess.
Yeah, and he's using liquid nitrogen, and he learned it from Wiley, of course, as many chefs before him. And he's like, you know, I really hate when I look at these chefs and they're just like, you know, throwing liquid nitrogen on things to look cool. So I'm just going to throw some liquid nitrogen on things to look cool.
I love our Avishar. So now Maria and Richard says, well, this is impressive. There's no way I would bake bread and make sausage. I'm Richard Blaze, and I'll see you tomorrow on Breads, Sausages, and Buns.
She's like, well, you know what? I want to say I can walk the walk and I can talk the talk, Richard. I'm like, okay, the hot dog bun walk.
No one was really challenging you on this front, but okay, sure.
And Gabriel is making some kind of a fish tomato stewy kind of thing.
Gabe is, yeah.
Yeah, and he said he just watched The Shining, so he's doing that. And Shota has decided he's going to make his corn dog a bloody cheese dog. He wants to make it black and then bleeding on the inside. And he's cracking it. He's like, ha, 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 ha.
He's an overdrive. Ha, 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 ha. So and Byron says something about wanting to put a smile on someone's face. I mean, who cares, right? So then they go outside and it's raining, which is always a bad sign. And they're running out of time and they're trying to cook in their big green eggs, which are all red. And you know, there's just some issues. And Nelson's knees are hurting from running around in the orchard. And but then we get a very long, lingering shot of Morton Salt, which must be a sponsor because we're just staring at a salt box.
That was crazy. Yeah, that was a really long shot. I thought there was going to be some drama later with the salt. Like maybe he thought it was sugar. I didn't know what was going on, but I was like,
we're staring at salt. Just staring at salt. And then I got really nervous because Maria only has two little convection ovens to make all those buns in. So they did a really good job of letting us think that Maria was going home because everything was just looking terrible for her.
Yeah. So the cars come in, it's the drive-through and everybody's honking. I would not go to a drive-through I guess that is what it's like for these, right?
I literally have some zero concert.
What was I watching where there was some concert on TV at a drive-through and everybody would applaud by honking their horns? Kill me now. Okay. Yeah, no, I'm not ever doing that.
I don't want to watch a movie. And I don't want to watch a movie in my car. Like shitty audio. No.
Oh, I used to go to the drive-in in Encinitas with my friend, and it's so fun. I love it. That's where I saw Snake Eyes with Nicolas Cage. I'll never forget it. What a night.
So Alanis Morissette is like in a car, and she's like, I feel like we're keeping Portland weird with this whole drive-in thing. Ah. And then Amar and Dale are just, they're in their car dancing and being wacky, and then some girls are waving. And then we hear Padma going, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Top Chef Drive-In. Sit back, relax, and try not to have Gail eat all your food. Sorry, she kind of does that. Bless her heart.
So Jamie is having people try her chicken wings. Again, a mistake. Because you're asking this asshole who always gives everybody terrible advice to taste
every single
chicken
time.
Wings. Every time. Portland snot. And so she's like, well, you know, I normally cook these more because they have to stay crunchy with the sauce, you know, and they're sitting around for a while. And he's like, no. Don't cook them more. This is it. And she's like, no, but, you know, they need to stay crunchy. He's like, no, don't do it, okay? And you need less sauce. It needs a lot less sauce than that.
I am the human incarnation of yogurt, okay? I know what a good, spicy Asian wing is supposed to taste like.
This is so frustrating. It's so frustrating. And it's even more frustrating because you can't even blame him. Like, she has to make the decision, you know? So just to see her hand all that power to yogurt. Yeah,
I know. And especially because Kiki literally got kicked off last week because she undercooked her chicken wings. So why? I don't understand. I feel bad that Jamie succumbed to that pressure because that's ridiculous. She should have been like, this is, I know how to make this. This is the way it's supposed to be. But she fucking yogurt got in her ear.
Portland's not in your ear forever. Okay, so let's see what happens next. Amara, Melissa. Oh, they're you know, of course, talking about their cars because it's Top Chef, and so they got to get those plugs in. So Amara's like, Melissa, did the massage button work? I can't find it. She's like, it's so easy. The button is right on the door.
Thank God for these BMW X6s. So now it starts, and we see Padma on the big screen, and she goes, to kick off our cinematic extravaganza, our first genre is, and then she gets a pie in the face, comedy. And here, legendary comic director, Jane Campion. I told you, I only watch two genres, Campion and Fellini.
And Padma is just cracking up at herself in every clip she does.
She's like, ha, 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 ha. Who is that wonderful, amazing actress? She knows Mariah Carey.
Gail, you should try to break into acting sometimes. I know it's really hard, but I think you could do it. Like, you'd be great in like a Folgers commercial in the background.
Listen, they're always looking for a new Muppet, Gail.
Gail, I heard that they're rebooting Different Strokes. They need a new maid in the background.
Hey, Gail, they're rebooting Different Strokes, but they're taking out the different and just having you sit there sucking on M&Ms the whole time and calling it Strokes. Because that's what you look like when you're sucking on M&Ms.
Hey, Gail, I don't know if you heard, but there was a casting notice for a reboot of ALF. Need I say any more?
So Jamie and Byron head to head. Hey, Jamie's like, hi. Action. I'm Sticky Wings. I'm doing chicken wings with a fish sauce glaze. I love rubber chickens. They're like, what?
I know. And Byron says he's doing Korean style gochujang chicken. Enjoy. So Richard Blaze, hey. Jamie's making a joke about rubber chicken in comedy, and then she serves us limp rubber chicken. Okay, back to you, Reed Drummond.
And Melissa's like, well, it's a little difficult for the car, especially with this amazing massage I'm getting right now. And Padma goes, I got the button sticky on the car.
I feel like Gail every time she drives pretty much anywhere.
So Tom is liking Byron's more because it's appropriate for the challenge. And Padma tells Blaze, yes, this is what I wanted to be eating while I'm watching a movie.
So then they do the votes. And the votes are in for round one comedy. The first point goes to Byron and the green team. Congratulations, idiot. So now it's time for a drama. And Chris's... He's saying how his ribs are messy. He's like, but, you know, having one rib and tearing it off the bone shouldn't make too much of a mess, which is, of course, a bad sign.
Really? You're holding a dead animal carcass in your fingers and slurping the meat off of its bones. How is that not messy, sir?
Ribs are notoriously a very clean food to eat. So
they don't serve paper towels with that dish for nothing. Okay.
Yeah. So then we see Padma up on screen again for drama. She goes, the food. You want the food. You can't handle the food. Get ready for some drama. I'm Padma Lakshmi.
She really, God, thank God she found this job. Can we just say that? Because she's terrible. And also, is she wearing a police uniform in this? I didn't write this down, but in my memory, she's dressed like a cop going, the food, you can't handle the food.
I think maybe, I also remember she was in a uniform. I'm assuming it was maybe some sort of like homage to Jack Nicholson.
Her army uniform or whatever?
Yeah.
Okay, so Dawn's like, well, within drama, there's sweetness and feistiness. So I'm doing a juxtaposition of popcorn.
Trauma.
And Chris has harissa barbecue ribs with shallots and celery or something. And yes. Dramatic children. And it's drama because dramatic children fight over the last rib. And everyone just looks at each other like, wow, is anybody going to make an effort today?
How many idiots have we brought on to this season? Inspired by the dramatic children who fight over the left. Just say the dramatic flavor. Like, just say it's, I don't know. I don't know why no one did something that had like a giant swoop to, like, how about a cotton candy? Like a big, giant, savory cotton candy that was enormous or something. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. So one of the guys, I don't know who it was, but a guy in the car goes, who eats a rib in a movie? I was like, thank you, America.
Yeah, and Amara says that once you get through the topping on the sauce, the actual rib is very bland. And then BJ, who was on Top Chef Charleston, apparently, I don't remember him at all, he's like, it's hard to eat this in a car. And Gail is not happy. She says, they had 4 hours and Dawn only made us popcorn.
And Blaze says, it's elevated. Thank you, Bobby Flay. What do you think? And Padma's like, the popcorn is delicious. Here, you can finish mine, Bald Gail.
I really hate when you call me that.
Sorry, but they only let 2 people in the car.
You're not sorry. You're just a victim of being close to me.
And the winner is Dawn's popcorn. All right. And Tom goes, Chris
is lucky. He has immunity.
So then Maria, it's windy, they're in puddles, and she's like, this is the most brutal day on Top Chef. And Shota's like, yeah, we have no hope of winning this one, okay? Maria, her sausage smells delicious, and she homemade her bread, and Portland Snothead made cauliflower tater tots. So yes. Good luck to us.
Well, 2 points for the green team, and still Gail for the yellow team. I'm sorry, I meant 0 for the yellow team. Okay. This is one mission that won't be impossible. Get ready for action.
And then she cracks a whip, which I don't know which Mission Impossible that was, but she had me guessing a lot with her performance.
I think they had limited props. I think they just had to do the best with what they had. Like, the next one's going to be like her just with the office Xerox machine. Look at this spaceship that could also copy a file. Wow, I never knew spaceships could collate. Whoa, sci-fi.
So Gabriel's like, I made cauliflower tots with yogurt sauce and Calabrian chili aioli. And Maria's like, I would like to present a Sonoran dog with homemade buns. It's a typical dish in Mexico. After you get action, you got a hot dog. And Gail goes, wow. The hot dog usually is the action for me, personally.
She said that, not me. Gail, I mean, that's pretty much written on your forehead, literally in ketchup. Hot dog is the action. The Gail Simmons story. Again, Maria, you get some action, then you get a hot dog. You know, thematic ties doesn't mean that you just find a way to work the word into a sentence. Okay.
I mean, listen, if you're going to go with action, it's a phallic symbol inside of a buns symbol. There's your action, yeah. You know?
There it is.
So then they try the tater tots. Padma hates them. She's like, these cauliflower tots are gummy and salty. I mean, if they were a person, I would say they're, Louis Anderson, if he were related to Gail.
Gummy and Salty, also known as Gail and Neelu's new podcast. Well, you know, the problem is there's just not enough starch to bind it. You know, just not enough to keep it together. Sort of like if you're trying to be a mixologist and you're trying to earn some money and you just don't quite have enough to keep your life together because you're just a mixologist.
Yeah, you don't have anything binding you. Sort of like my son and an education. Okay, they just don't mix. So, Omar, what'd you think? And he's like, I don't eat vegetables. So, you know, I thought the tots were pretty good, considering. And Gil goes, what are you, a fourth grader?
How did this guy wind up being a judge on Top Chef and he's sitting there saying, I don't eat vegetables, so. I mean, he did lick the plate and he did sort of carry around a bone for a while, so.
So the winner of this round is Maria, and Tom starts going, woof, 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 woof.
Woof, woof, surrender, dog. Woof, 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 woof. Quiet, Tom. This is action, not Benji.
So yellow team has 0 points, and Tom is like, this is do or die for the yellow team. So next up is Nelson and Avishar, sci-fi. So Padma is watching herself as an alien on the screen and just,
oh, she's great.
Who is that actress? I have to recommend her to my dear friend Lena Waithe. Oh, wait, it's me. So hard to remember when you're in character.
So this is Nelson's unidentified Dominican object versus Avishar's aliens of Earth. On this planet, my name is Danny, and I'm serving you s'mores from space. Like, wow. And Gail goes, like, wow, he's a real nerd.
In the best way. Tom is obsessed with the s'mores. He's like, well, Avishar really nailed that. You know, a s'more from outer space, you know, where they don't have fire. That's just amazing. More s'mores, please. More s'mores, please. More s'mores, please. Quiet, Tom. I asked to sit with you, not Gail, okay?
Tom, stop repeating Gail's wedding vows, would you? And Padma goes, here's where I'd like some more acid.
It's an unidentified Dominican non-famous person.
So Blaze loved Nelson's. He said it was one of the best of the day. And Kale's like, I mean, we're going hello. And Tom says, really? Because the s'more ice cream, that was the most appropriate thing we had all day. Are you nuts? Gail, are you crazy?
I mean, okay, show of hands. Who here thinks that the toasted s'mores ice cream was possibly the best thing that's ever been served in the history of Top Chef? Possibly Western civilization. Okay, hands up. Anyone? Just me? No?
Dom was really going hard for those s'mores.
He loved it.
Yeah, so, that team wins with 2/3 of the vote, which was not the s'mores, right? What was that?
That was the unidentified non-s'mores ice cream that really should not have won over this absolutely amazing s'mores ice cream that I'll probably never forget for the rest of my life.
Yeah, Tom's like, really? Wow. Whoa. Okay. Okay. Wow. Well, okay.
All right. Well, I guess people of Portland don't have the palates that I thought they did. Wow.
Okay. So here we go with horror. I know this is supposed to be a clip of me, but instead I found something truly scary. Gail trying to get out of her Spanx to go pee during the break. Sorry, Gail.
Oh, my goodness. My favorite horror movie is when Gail and Neely tried to recreate Seven, but with a HelloFresh box and just some carrots. What's in the box, Neely? What's in the box?
Could someone get my head out of this box? I'm starting to feel offended.
I'm sorry, I'm just imagining. I'm poor assuming Gail. That was Neelu.
Poor like, Gail being stuck in a box. Like, how much disrespect do I have to take?
Oh, still Gail, I'm trying to get this on Insta.
Okay, so horror. So Shota and Gabe. So Gabe is, you know, doing a bunch of fish and some red sauce, okay? And he's, like, trying to roll with. It's scary because it's red. And Padma goes, what does she say? She goes,
ooh, chips.
She goes, Don't spill your drinks. It's horror.
Yeah.
Which they're kind of grasping at this point, right?
Yeah. That was a strange. Don't spill your drinks. It's horror.
Okay. So.
Yeah, everything is just kind of creatively falling apart this episode.
Yeah. So Shota. Okay. So something goes, okay, I made what I'm calling a cheesy bloody dog because my favorite thing in this world is my dog, and he's black, and my greatest nightmare is something happening to him, which is why you eat into the dog and then it bleeds.
I mean, if there was ever a gimme category, it's just like, I've made you something because it's bloody and it reminds you of like a dead something or other. This is to remind you of what would theoretically happen if you decided to eat my favorite dog.
Gail's horrified face. It was so good.
Padma goes, this doesn't look appetizing to me. Okay, everyone, just pass your corn dogs down to Gail. She's got a bag. She'll take them home with her.
Gail's like, I'm going to have nightmares. So then Gabe is doing like a funny voice. And he's like, I am Gabe. In your cup is oysters and scallops and Dungeness crab and charred shrimp. And Padman goes, I wish his dish was as good as his delivery.
Don't spill your drinks. It's horror. That's how you do it.
You can't handle the fruits. So Gabe, they're shocked that it's not good, right? Everyone's like, yeah. Wow, this sucks. And it's Gabe. He's pretty good. And yeah. So then they eat Shota's, and Tom goes, what is this? And Padman goes, I couldn't finish it. And Gail says, okay.
I mean, it's just, you know what this thing is? It's basically like one big Gail joke wrapped up, deep fried, and covered with black soot. Am I right, everyone?
It's a real horror show. Yeah, it didn't even taste like cheese. Which was scarier? Shota won because his was the scarier, which that's crazy that Shota's won. Like, they almost all spit out Shota's, and he's still.
Well, that just shows how bad the Gabe's weird V8 ceviche was.
So then Sarah's like, oh my god, get my liquid nitrogen. Oh my god, come on, get it thicker, Gabe. Get it thicker.
And then Padma comes on screen plucking rose petals. They love me. They love Gail not. They love me. They love Gail not. Finally, a little romance.
A lingering question. Is your place or my place? And when I think of romance, I think of milkshake with strawberry miso whip. I was like, Sarah, no.
And then Gabe says, you know, I wanted to give you salty, sweet, and a little bit of our guts. Because you love people with all your guts. I'm like, why can't these guys just nail the simplest concepts? Like, it's love, and you're talking about, I want to give you guts. Like, this nothing literally makes any sense.
Yeah. So the milkshake wins, which makes the teams tied. So the winning dish will decide the winning team.
Yeah. By the way, churro with dulce de leche is great. Churro with dulce de leche and strawberry and chicken liver mousse, not so great. Summer's supposed to be fun. Oh, sorry. I was doing a different show.
So they get to the stew room, and Padma is dressed like she's one of the guys in Grease. She's wearing like a leather jacket, but no top under. And she walks in and she goes, hello. And then Gabe, the one who's possibly been accused of sexual misconduct in his restaurant, goes, wow. Yeah. She's like, we'd like to see everyone. Except you, stupid Gabe. Stay here, grossy gross. Okay, everybody. And somebody goes, here comes the plot twist. It's like, oh, now you're going to commit to this? You fuckers.
Now you're suddenly going to like create some thematic through line here. So the winning team is the team who had our favorite dish. And the winning dish of the day is you're all stupid and get out of our face. That was the worst challenge we ever had.
Byron. So congrats, Byron. You secured the green team a win. I'm going to still keep this horrified, angry face that looks like I might be crying at any moment because I'm so furious and I forgot why. So we're throwing in another twist. I still have very angry eyes right now. Don't ask me why. It's my process. You don't get immunity, but you do get $10,000. Just kidding. I wasn't mad at all.
We call that acting. You may have seen it when during my feature film series called Here Are Genres, which was just premiered at a drive-in theater that you cooked at. Thank you. Thank you so much.
So Tom gives Avishar credit. He's like, you know,
the s'mores, I literally have a tongue boner, which is why I can't really talk properly right now. Thinking about your s'mores, they were delicious. Thank you.
Even though these idiots all voted for your dish, Byron, well, I think we all know that the cool kids loved that s'mores. Whoa, s'mores from outer space. Love it.
You did it.
Blaze tells Dawn her popcorn was really good. He wanted a jumbo. And Maria, that work you put in was amazing. You know, I would be too scared making bread, making sausages. And she's like, well, you know, I've never been here before, so I just wanted feedback, you know, because I didn't go to school. So I need to hear feedback. And Tom's like, you don't come out of school making bread like that. And you don't come out of school making sausage like that. You're here because you can cook. And she's like, oh, thank you.
I didn't say it was outer space s'mores, okay? So maybe relax a little bit. Also, Richard, when Richard says, when he was talking about the sausage and the bread, he also says, making your own sausage, making your own bread, I'm getting goosebumps. You're not getting goosebumps about making sausage and bread. Shut up, okay? I can't deal with your made-for-TV critiques. Be awkward like every other Top Chef guest judge.
Yeah, dude. Haddon was like, well, the rest of you tonight sucked buttholes. Okay, so let's talk about that. Yellow team, one of you will be going home. The biggest problem today is that we didn't see a lot of imagination. And no, I'm not just talking about Gail's wardrobe. Gabriel, walk us through what the heck you were thinking with that horrible butthole-licking dish. Go.
And he's saying, well, I made cauliflower tots. And, you know, it's like an action because you can dip them and everything. Oh, an action like this. Oh, okay, so dipping. Okay, guess what, Gabriel? That's not action, okay? I speak as someone who once auditioned for Lara Croft Tomb Raider. This is not action.
Listen, there's no little cauliflower sitting around saying I'm too old for this shit like Danny Glover in Lethal Weapon, okay? I don't know what the hell you're thinking about.
Let me try to think. I just watched The Avengers. Let's see. Robert Downey Jr. was in it. Scarlett Johansson. Chris Hemsworth. And I'm trying to remember, was there a piece of cauliflower part of that ensemble? No, I don't think so.
Did Sandra Bullock have to get on a cauliflower going 60 miles an hour, and if it went any slower, she'd explode?
I'm trying to remember. Was there a cauliflower that woke us up from our collective unconscious state because the machines had taken over? Or was that Keanu Reeves?
Oh. Cauliflowers for Algernon. Now there's a drama. All right. So step with my drama, goodness. Portland.
I heard this cauliflower was one day away from retiring before it went on that cop case. Oh, wait, no, that was Danny Glover.
So let's see. They hated him, you know. And Tom goes, you know what? You didn't swing for the fences and you didn't hit it, okay? And he goes, overall, you guys know that you didn't do the best, right? You could have done better. I mean, Chris. He goes, Chris, that rib. And Chris goes, yeah, well, if I had more time to, you know, inject flavor into it, I would have. And he goes, you're right. It was bland. Okay, that's it.
Well, I'm sure if Gail had more time, she could have picked out something semi-appropriate to wear. But you know what? That's life. You get the time that you have.
Chris, you're lucky. Jamie, I liked your story. I laughed. But that wing, wow, it was so messy. It's like when Gail tries to make fart sounds, you know, holding tortillas under her armpits. It just doesn't work.
And she gets flour everywhere. Because guess what? They haven't been cooked yet. It's tragic. So, you know, I'm just used to getting such... Gail, before you decide to try your fart tambourines again, could you please just wait till they're cooked?
Thank you for trying to make my lame joke succeed. because it brought me Gail with raw dough under her armpits trying to make fart sounds.
Listen, you're not the one who made two unsuccessful Jane Campion jokes, okay? Sometimes these things just get away from us. You know, it's hard. You know, they can't all, just like Gail's wardrobe, they can't all be winners.
We don't write this down, okay? They can't all be golden people.
It's hard. I don't always think well off the top of my head. And if I have to come up with three artsy directors, sometimes I can only come up with two. Okay.
Well, I'm used to bright and bold, and that just didn't happen. And Gail's like, "Why would you make wings?" And Jamie's like, "Well, we talked about funny bones. Ha 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 ha." That's supposed to be the sound of an audience. I'm really losing it right now, guys. My bad.
Sarah, I would go back to that drive-in to get that milkshake. Oh, no kidding, Gail. Wow. Getting seconds on a milkshake. Wow. You've really blown our minds with that one.
And Richard Blaze goes, "I don't even eat sugar. And I finished that." Shut up, Richard.
Shut up. I don't like that. Don't brag about how little sugar you eat. Congratulations, you lost weight.
Yeah, congratulations. You've lost 10 pounds, Richard. Okay. You know, go teach the masses now. So then Nelson is next, and they're so classic impressed Padma that he did a UFO cylinder.
And Padma did a trick question, because she did the old, "Nelson, how did today go for you?" Which normally is the question you ask someone to get them to talk about how proud they are of a dish before they say, "Well, it was terrible." But in this case, they actually liked it.
Yeah, Richard is really impressed, and Gail goes, "I finally felt like I was eating Nelson's food again." And then Shota goes, "Yeah,
Your food is best when it's just sort of a mash of things and literally called unidentified."
And Shota goes, "Yeah, I think I just focused too much on the theme." And Gail goes, "Yeah, it was a textural issue. The center was pasty. Anyone want to take this?"
Richard, it's time for your redemption. You want to do it? No? Okay.
All right, go ahead and speak then, Male Gail. And Tom's like, "Well, you embraced the challenge, but the inside was a horror show."
Nailed it.
So then they all start. Then the chefs go back to the studio room, and now they're talking. And you know, it's clear that we were underwhelmed. You know, just sort of like really any fill in the blank experience with Gail, right? So really, any of these chefs can go home.
Who should we murder? Okay, Padma, let it go now. Okay. So Gail says that Nelson won, so he should be safe, right?
Right.
And Sarah won as well, so she should be safe. And Blaze is just like, "Yeah, Shota's completely shocked me." And, you know, it's bizarre. Gail's like, "Texturally, it was bizarre and unsuccessful." Tom's like, "Well, you know, at least you tried. I mean, Gabriel's tater tots. I mean, how was that action? What the heck?"
Yeah. I just don't understand. I mean, how is it that in one day we could have something as magnificent as toasted marshmallow s'mores ice cream and then also have cauliflower? I just don't understand this life.
And Blaze goes, "Even a sauce is sucked," which I liked. And so Tom was like, "Yeah, Jamie's chicken. I mean, that was bad and sloppy. It was just terrible." And Gail goes, "I mean, if it was great, we could get over the messy fingers. It just wasn't. Wasted calories, Gail. That's what it's called. Welcome to the concept."
So then the chefs come back in, and Tom is like, "Well, you know, today was a rough day for you guys, but you know what? Tomorrow's a new day for new service. You can start fresh, except for one of you." I was like, "Oh, wow. Way to make them feel bad."
Yeah, make them feel even worse. "Jamie, please make the sound of an exit on a door in a grocery store and go."
Beep, beep, beep. "Yes, please back out of here. Please."
"I didn't tell you to make the sound that Gail has to make when she comes out of a dressing room so she doesn't bump into other people."
And on that note.
Yeah, Jamie's really cute. She's like, "Well, you know, I guess I got rejected. I don't even know about Tinder, but, you know, which way do you swipe? Because I got swiped the other way."
Boing.
Next, on the internet version of Top Chef, Jamie fucked up big time. Her drive-in chicken wing flew the coop. Will the plot chicken?
Sorry, I used all my good chicken puns last week with stupid Kiki.
I thought that was pretty good. Will the plot chicken?
I'm going to go tell my dear friend Lena Waithe about that one. Maybe I can write for The Shy soon also.
The Shy. Candy comes on and she's like, guys, the plot chickens.
Did you mean to say hello to me in this scene?
Did Padma ask for more to do this year? I think she did. I think she was like, guys, I've been here for a really long time. My good friend Lena Waithe has inspired me to do more. I'd love to do more than just host and judge. Give me more lines or something. They're like, okay, Padma, we'll do a lot of like fun puns for you at the end to talk about the internet show. I'm in. You know what? I'd also like to do Top Chef the film. All right, we'll do a movie night and let you play a bunch of different roles. I'm in. Also, I need something like, you know, something more like a beanbag chair if it was made out of a wagon of Oprah's chicken fat. Can I have that in my dressing room? Oh, Gail, you're here. Okay, I'll sign the contract.
I was also talking to my very good friend, Angela Merkel, and she says I have to incorporate the EU into the show more, which was easy because I just see Gail and go, EU.
All right, everyone. Well, that brings us to the end of Top Chef. We will be back tomorrow with, guess what? Something else.
Yeah, and we are only a few days away from that Roni recap. So do not miss out because it's going to be a super, super fun time. So go to our website, watchwhatcrappens.com, and follow the links there to get your tickets. And we'll see you for that one Thursday night.
And bye-bye, everybody.
Bye.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't No Thing Like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, She Don't Take No Baloney.
Dana C. Dana Do. She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela. Itchels.
Let's Run Some Errands with Emily Ahrens.
Aaron McNicholas, She Don't Miss No Trickolas.
Ava Nagila Weber.
Jamie, She Has No Less Namey.
Zip Some Scotch with Jessica Trotch.
Just Saying, Okay.
She's a Little Bit Loony. Junie, She's Always Supplying, it's Kelly Ryan.
Megan Berg, You Can't Have a Burger Without the Berg.
You don't touch the Nicky Morgan letters.
The Bay Area Betches, Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
Nancy, Cease and Desisto. Better Than Tabbouleh, it's Annie and Julie.
Always the Wiser, it's Allison Weisler.
Let's Give Them a Kissa, it's Austin and Marissa.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're Taking the Gold with Brenda Silva.
Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
We will, Joanna Rockland, you.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Let's Go on a Bender with Lauren Fender.
The Incredible Edible Matthews Sisters.
No one makes us feel well like Megan Cap Sewell.
She's cheese on a bagel, it's Megan Ragel.
Mina Coochie Coochie Coochie.
Give him hell, Miss Noel. Shannon, Out of a Cannon, Anthony.
Let's Get Racy with Miss Stacy.
Let's Take Off with Tamla Plain.
She Ain't No Shrinking Violet Kuchar. We love you guys.